So we were here on Wednesday evening, and as we were praying, I felt the Lord saying, I know what you need. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. Because you know that God meets all our needs according to his riches and glory. But he's waiting for us to unite with him, to come into agreement with him, join our will with his to see what he wants being done on earth. So the question is this morning, what do you want? Anybody growing up, did you ever get the phrase, I want, don't get? It was like catchphrase for, I don't know if it's just my generation or people below us or forever and a day, there's the dawn of time. I want, don't get, which was so frustrating. I wasn't very quick on the uptake of manners at all. In fact, my sister keeps catching me out all the time. It's like, Kirsty, manners! I'm like, oh, what? It doesn't come naturally to me, please and thank you. It's not because I'm not grateful. It's not a part of my vocab. Very odd. Anyway, Sarah's picked me up a few times as well. Yeah, I remember there was one time we were ice skating or bowling or something in Ireland. Can I get a size 6? And she's like, please! But you know, in the kingdom, wants get. Yeah. In fact, what we want is what God can work with. The definition of want is to have a desire to possess or to do something, to wish for, a desire for something, or a lack or deficiency of something. And a need is a required essential. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. So it's necessary rather than desirable. So God's looking for us to want, desire to possess what he said, to desire to do what he says we can do. First scripture is Matthew 7. Lots and lots of very familiar scriptures this morning. And 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? And in Luke 11 it says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father, give the Holy Spirit. Do you know that baptism in the Holy Spirit isn't necessary for your salvation? You can be saved and never ever experience God's power working with you, through you, never see anything around you change. So it's not a necessity, but the Holy Spirit is something that we want, that we need to possess, that we want to need. Matthew 6 in verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And Jesus teaches us to pray for our needs to be met, but then he prays for kingdom to come to earth. So there's the personal needs, that's our bread, that's our... But given our sins, that everything that was provided for at the cross for our personal lives, that he's met. But then kingdom coming to earth, your kingdom come, your will be done, that's what we want.
Yeah.
That goes beyond ourselves and goes out to the whole community, the whole of our colleagues, our friends, our family. It's, we're okay, we can sit on, we can enjoy our assurance of salvation. We can enjoy the fact that we're going to heaven. But we have to want everybody else to be in the same position. So when the Lord is asking, what do you want? It's really highlighting to me, like, how much do you want your family to be saved? How much do you want your community to be saved, your friends to be saved, your workspaces? How much do you want to see the church change? How much do you want to see Stornoway change? How much do you want to see the nations change? Because the level of your commitment to it, the level of your desire for it, is the level that the Lord can bless you with the things that are required to see it done. Like, God knows our needs and has already provided for them. He keeps sorting our needs out. There's hundreds of times that we are blessed and we are completely unaware of it. There's times we could be walking down the street inches away from losing our lives, and the Lord's got his angels watching for us, and we have no idea.
Right.
There's hundreds of times when things have just appeared as we need them, that those needs have been met. And that is actually a matter of course. That's like Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, walking around with every need being met. Every single need was sorted. They had shoes that didn't wear out, which is fantastic to me. I buy shoes and then have to buy a new pair 6 months later because of worn away heels and bottoms and all sorts. So that would be pretty cool. But he provided manna for the people in the wilderness, which wasn't what they wanted, but is what they needed. So he's always meeting need. But when we want to move into the promised land, it becomes about what do you desire? What do you want? Because they could only take the land back to the level that they would commit to going after it. There's a responsibility that's attached to wanting something. Because it's, if you want it, you have to get it. If you want some grand scheme for your life, it's not just going to fall into your lap. You have to go out and get it. And that should be our attitude towards kingdom business, to what's happening, what God's doing. Do I want what God is saying, and am I going to invest in it? Matthew 21. I wrote down these scriptures last night just because of references, so I don't even know what to say until I get it. So, Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what the Son of the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." Whatever things we ask for in prayer believing, we will receive. That is some promise. Now, there's a bit of a caution attached to this promise, because in James he says, you ask not, that you ask and you don't get because you ask amiss. So we have to be careful that what we're praying for, what we're asking for, is in fact God's will. Because otherwise, we're just not going to get it. But don't let that stop us from asking. Because if we ask amiss, he's not going to give it to us as a punishment and serve you right. You might ignore it. We might waste some time going after something that isn't for us. But God isn't counting that against us. The Father isn't saying, "Oh, well, that's what they want. They can have it. That'll teach them." He doesn't say that. But whatever we want, according to his will, he will give to us. remember the old bracelets, the pray until something happens? Mm-hmm. I used to have hundreds of these, so it was one of them, like the Christian t-shirt, hundreds of bands, all that jazz. So there was WWJD, what would Jesus do? And then I was taught, well, actually it's up to you, so it's what should I be doing, basically? What has Jesus done was a better question. And pray until something happens. Push. And then I kind of thought, well, surely we've got to pray believing something is already happening. Or something has already happened. Because everything goes back to the cross. Everything has been made available at the cross. So whatever we pray for, we already have. John 14. And 12 to 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want to stir up some expectation this morning that whatever we ask for, he will do. But we've got this huge statement this year, it's a year of great change. So the question is, what change do we expect to see? Because what we ask for, we will receive. When we're invested, when we're going after it, when our desire is lined up with his. Because we need change. We know we need change. We know what we need. But what we want determines what we see.
Yeah.
I love the scripture where it says you can go boldly into the throne room. But basically, God doesn't really do polite neither. He says the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and violent men take it by force. He's waiting for people to go, this is what we want. I love the story of Corrie ten Boom sitting with Brother Andrew, and they're praying, and Corrie ten Boom says, Lord, that's what it says, do it. That was her prayer. It's like, that's what it says, do it. Like, we can expect what he's written for us. We can expect the promises he's made for us. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me. That's that whole, if we ask, if we're not in him and we're asking, we're not going to get. But when we're in line with what he wants, then when we ask, we're going to get it. The exciting thing is he's knitted us together with him. He's joined us together in spirit. So our hearts have been changed. We've been transformed to the image of his Son. So our desires are the same as his. Because that's what he's made us to be. That's our new creation. So we can get all het up and worked up that, oh, is this the right thing? Is it not the right thing? And he's like, well, whatever you do, I'm going to bless you if you're going to stay in me. If you keep me at the center, then it's okay. I'll let you know if you're going wrong. I'll let you know if you're going off on a different route. I'll be that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. James 4 and verse 2 to 3, it says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I know I've fallen into the trap of looking at other people and going, how come they get that? Or how come they're being so blessed and they're not walking the same way as me? Like I'm some big shot. or looking at other churches and going, how come everything's happening there? And we're being faithful and nothing's happening here. Or looking at how people are being successful and where we're lacking and going, I want it. And then you think of all the 100 ways of how they must be doing something wrong because they can't possibly have got that from God because I haven't got that from God. Rather than thinking, they must be doing something, right? So we start this whole kind of character assassination of our friends and of people in the church and other churches, and we start killing them, basically. God says, if you hate anybody, it's as good as killing them. So we're jealous of what others have, so we don't get what we need, what we want. Our attention gets diverted to everywhere else, apart from the one person who can give us what we want. Who is Jesus. So we get in this whole massive turmoil about, trying to get God to do stuff for us because other people have got it, or praying that the same thing that's happening for somebody else will happen for us, and really it doesn't mean anything because it isn't about everybody else and what they've got, it's about you and the Lord. And it says, and even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So we can ask for things for ourselves, but unless it's going to have the benefit of blessing others, why should we get it? We're called to be servants. Jesus came and made himself with no reputation. He humbled himself even to the point of death. And then the word of God says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ. So unless our motives are out of serving other people, unless our wants are out of wanting to be a blessing to people, to see people's lives changing, we are for miss. We're not going to see those things. But when we do align with a friend, when we do go after the things that God wants, when we do the same things Jesus does, and at the same as he does, and come from the same mind, then God gives us all those things as an added bonus. Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of. We ask according to his will, he hears us. And we know he hears us, so whatever we ask, we already have. So we can beg and we can beg and we can bawl and we can scream for all the things that we're wanting. But he's already given them to us the second that we ask. So we can ask expectantly and start thanking him for the things he's already given. So want engages your will, it's not passive, but it motivates you. Need is passive, but want motivates. What you ask for, you're responsible for, you're invested in. One thing that's bothered me slightly over the years is that people will ask for other people things that God wants for them without including that person in on it. So put it in the context of relationships. We're really good in general at praying for you know, so-and-so to get a wife, husband, whatever. And unless that's their will at the time, we're setting them up for this emotional turmoil when all these opportunities start coming up and they're not ready for it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like suddenly you're in that position, like I don't really want to be married right now, and yet this is happening, and I feel like this, and then you find out that somebody's been praying, oh, get a husband. Like, whoa, where's that come from? Don't set people up. Don't get involved with what you're not personally responsible for. You actually don't have the authority. And whatever you invest in prayer, you get the victory in. So if you join with somebody in praying for a situation because they've asked you to, that's a shared victory. Did anybody get a pet when they were, or want a dog when they were younger? Or a cat or a hamster or whatever. And the comment from the parents was, well, if you get one, you're cleaning it, you're feeding it, you're walking it. basically, it's your responsibility. And that's what God does for us. It's like, when he says, pray the harvesters, pray for the harvesters, pray for people to go out. We're setting ourselves up to be the one to go out. When you ask, you volunteer. Being in those kind of meetings when at work or whatever, where there's a question that you really need to ask, as in, who's going to do such and such? And you know, when you ask it, you're volunteering. So you either don't ask it, or you ask it and cringe. Mm-hmm. Or you preface it with, I'm not volunteering, but... God expects us to ask and join our will with what we're asking. Otherwise, it's not faith. Faith has the works attached to it. If it's just asking because that's what we think we ought to do, but we're not investing, that isn't faith. Another question, another statement that was made quite a lot when we were younger, because we mooch around waiting for, you know, chocolate or whatever because the parents have got it, and the statement would be, well, if you don't ask, you don't get. So we can wait for various things to happen for us, but if we're not asking for it, we don't get. So the questions are, what changes do you want? What do you want? What do you want to change for you? What do you want to change for your family? What do you want to change for workmates, friends, bosses, businesses, communities? What do you want to change in church? How do you see us being different at the end of the year as to how we are now? How do you see your life being different, even this time next week? What do you want for the nation? What do you want God to do for you? So this morning, I finished speaking on what I was going to say this morning, but I want us to go into a time of prayer and into a time of evaluating what it is that we want, putting those things in front of the Lord and going after those things. It might be that you know you need your healing, but you want it. You know that you've got issues in your life and they need to be sorted, but the question is, do you want it? You know you need to spend more time with Jesus, but do you want it? Do you know you need the Holy Spirit to be in your life and working and to see kingdom coming? But do you want it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you search our hearts, Lord, that you would show up anything that's not of you, Lord, that you would help us to evaluate where we are with you. Father, I pray that we would align ourselves with your offering, that we would see what you want becoming our desire. I thank you that you give us the desire of